Go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, notice verse 7. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Let's pray and we'll begin. Lord, thank you for tonight. And Father, I just pray tonight. I know you have this message for this group of people tonight. And so I pray that we'd recognize that you want to deal with us tonight. Please help us, Lord. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in this world. We think of the weather even. We think of our own lives. Please help us all to remove those things from our minds for the moment and keep our minds fixed upon Thee and Thy Word. And so please, I pray that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. And Lord, it's my prayer tonight, and I believe that perhaps everyone in this room would agree that we need revival. And Lord, I pray it begin with us today as an individual. Lord, begin it with me. And so please, I pray that You'd use this time to glorify Yourself. And again, may we have ears to hear tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to give us kind of a practical truth concerning the doctrine of anthropology or the doctrine of man. Now, studying the doctrine of man has been, I think, a great study, interesting study. And we've learned some things. Let me just shoot them out at you as a form of a reminder. We learned that man was created by God. We understand that. We didn't evolve. We didn't ooze out of some soup mix. God created us. He spoke us into existence. We know that spoke the world into existence and made us from the dust of the earth. We understand all that from the Word of God. We also learned that man is made up of three parts, a trichotomy, a body, soul, and spirit. Of course, body with the five senses, soul with the emotions, the intellect, the will, our conscience, our mind. That's all in the soul. And then our spirit. And we know that when we get saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells in our spirit. We also saw that man has been given by God certain abilities. We can do some things, amen? We can think, we can reason, we can use logic, we can choose, we are moral beings, and so forth. And one of the other things that we learned, and that's I'm going to focus on a little bit tonight, is that man has been given the ability to communicate. That's what we're doing right now. That's what I'm doing anyway. We're communicating. We can not only to communicate with one another, of course, we can talk with one another, we can communicate in many different ways, but also we've been given the ability to communicate with God. And that's an amazing ability, isn't it? I mean, think about it. God has given you and me as human beings the ability to communicate with Him. Now, let's remember, it has always been God's desire to communicate with man. He wants to communicate with you, and He wants to communicate with me. Now, holding your hand here, let me just prove that to you by going back to Genesis chapter 2, all the way back there in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. And we'll see God seeking and communicating with man. Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15. Really, what this is it is the first recorded communication between God and man. Right here. Here it is. The first time we read of God speaking to man. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Watch this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying. So notice God communicated with man. He did it by means here of a command. Let's read on. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Look at verse 18. And the Lord God, here it is again, said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So we see God is communicating with man. Imagine this. He has a desire. He wants to communicate with us. I mean, he wants to speak to us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to command us. He wants to direct us. He wants to guide us. He wants for him to be our God and for us to be his people. And that's what his desire really has always been. But in Genesis 3, you know the story. Of course, we know this was the fall of man. And we know that sin entered into the world and all of its consequences. We know that mankind chose to sin. Adam and Eve chose to sin against God. And so many things happened. The world literally changed because of that event. We see that the fellowship with God was in many ways broken. Not completely broken, and we'll see that in a moment. But it was marred by sin. Now physical death has entered into the world. Of course, spiritual death has entered into the world. Sorrow and suffering has entered into the world. And all men are born lost without Christ in sin and in need of a Savior. But what's interesting about that is that even after sin entered into the world, God still desired to speak with man. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you'd think he'd say, well, forget this. If you're going to sin against me, I'm not going to talk to you folks anymore. If you're not going to listen to me, that's it. But that's not it at all. As a matter of fact, he instigated it once again. Notice Genesis chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 8. We read, and they heard, look at this, the voice of the Lord God. They heard his voice. He's still reaching out to them. He's still trying to speak to them. Notice the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Sounds like, or looks like, they didn't want to talk to him. But amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, notice, where art thou? So here God again is pursuing man. He's trying to communicate with them. And we see really the first missionary work that was done in this world was done by God himself. He's pursuing Adam. He's saying to Adam and Eve, he's saying, where art thou? Certainly he wanted them to recognize where they were spiritually, what they had done, and come to repentance, but they did not do that. We know that. In verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice, that's Adam speaking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Notice, I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Notice the communication is going back and forth still. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, again, here we are communicating again, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Not a great conversation going on. God's trying to get them to come to themselves, but they weren't coming to themselves. And in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now I read all that to say this. God's communicating, isn't he? I mean, the fall happened, sin entered, and he's still pursuing them. Now remember, to the lost, to the unregenerate man today, God communicates with him to bring him to salvation. That's what he's trying to do with a conviction of circumstances and so forth, and maybe a tract or the word of God given to a person. God is trying to win that person to himself. And so there's communication to the lost. But understand also, and I think you understand this tonight, once we are saved as his children, certainly he wants to communicate with us as well. And really in a much, much better way. He can communicate with us because we're his children, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, the Spirit of God indwells us. So now God can communicate with you and with me, if you're saved here tonight, in kind of a more direct and personal way, a more intimate way, because of this new relationship and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So imagine that God wants to communicate with you and with me. Don't we read in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And so his sheep are those that are saved, and those that are saved, notice, hear his voice. Now, what's interesting, throughout the Bible, we see God communicating with his children. All through the Bible, for example, he talked to Noah in Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. There it is, God speaking to Noah. We read in Exodus 3:14, God speaking to Moses. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. We read in 1 Kings 3:11, God communicating to Solomon. We read in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 9, God said unto Jonah, he's speaking to Jonah. Even in the New Testament days, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, as Paul was on the road to Damascus, we read, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so understand something tonight. I said all that to say this. God wants to speak to you today. And he wants to speak to me today. And I wonder sometimes if we miss that. Now go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 3. Because in our text here tonight, what we're reading of is a reference to Old Testament Israel. It's kind of a commentary to the nation of Israel and how they responded when God tried to speak to them. How they responded to the voice of God. Notice what we read again in verse, let's pick it up in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Watch this. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And so he's saying, when I spoke to them, they didn't listen. And he's going to use that fact of the Old Testament of what happened as a warning to New Testament believers of this. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at verse 12. Take heed. Watch this. Brethren, that's the believer. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And again, verse 15, while it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What he's saying here tonight is the very same thing that happened to them can happen to us. God can try to speak to us and we cannot listen. And I want to ask us something tonight. How do you and I, how do we ever get comfortable not hearing the voice of God? Because that can happen. God's voice, he sends it out. But how is it at times we get comfortable not hearing his voice? Do you know that it is impossible for us to make decisions in life, to get the right direction in life, to get to know what God wants us to do? It's impossible to do that without hearing his voice. Impossible. So it's essential that we do. Do you understand tonight? You need direction, and I need direction for everything in life. It's not just the preacher that needs direction. It's not just a missionary on the mission field that needs direction. It's the father that needs direction. It's the husband that needs direction. The wife needs direction. The mother needs direction. Teenagers, you need direction tonight as well for things in your life. And understand, in order to get that direction, we must understand the voice of God. We must hear it and obey it. The question is, are we? Let me give you an example of something real quickly. Hold your hand in Hebrews 3. We're coming back. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And I got half the church here fanning themselves. So could we get something going here with some air? 1 Chronicles 14. Now, here is a very important thing. Now, listen to the message. Don't worry about what he's doing. All right? He'll get that taken care of. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at verse 9. Notice what we read. Chronicles 14 and verse 9. Notice, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now watch this. And David inquired of God. Here are the Philistines. They're coming up against David. Now the natural man, the first inclination you would think is fight them. Right? They're the enemy. They're the unbelievers. They're the Philistines. We're the people of God. Let's just fight them. It's obvious. Not so. Because watch what he says. David says, I better check with God here. See what God tells me to do. And that's what he does. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, what are those next two words? Go up. Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. Now watch this in verse 11. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Now watch this, verse 13. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. So here it is again. Here they come again. You'd think, guess what? Here they are. I guess we'll go fight them again. Maybe not. David says, you know what? I better check with God. And so he does check with God. Verse 14, therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, what are those next three words? Go not up. Don't go this time. Now I'm not getting into the details of the story. What I'm trying to show you here is that, you know, a lot of times we just live life in the natural mind. You know what I mean? Let's just do what we think we're supposed to do. And we do not do what David did here many times. We do not inquire of God. We do not listen for the voice of God. We kind of live our lives in autopilot. And we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to know what God wants us to do. Hear his voice. So tonight I want to preach this message. I want to get right into the message. Preaching on the subject, hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. You know, a lot of times you go, that's spooky stuff. No, it's Bible stuff. You know, sometimes we get so afraid of something that's spiritual because we're afraid we might be accused of being charismatic. Hold on a minute here. There is an experiential side to Christianity. When I got saved, God changed me and I experienced something. Amen? And so did you if you got saved. And so there is. And God does speak to us. God does want to talk to us. And we're going to see that tonight. So let's look at number one, the speaking of God. Write that down if you would, please. The speaking of God. Now we're going back to our text because we read in Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, here it is, as the Holy Ghost saith, there's a word, saith. If today, if ye will notice, hear his voice. We read almost a repeat in verse 15, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice. You say, how do I hear the voice of God? Well, there are three basic ways that God speaks to us. And they're so simple, but I think we need to be reminded of them anyway. The first way, letter A, you got it, is the scriptures. The word of God. The Bible. God speaks. How many believe we have a Bible that's inspired and preserved tonight and it's God's words? Amen? And it is. It absolutely is. These are the words of God. And he speaks to us through the scriptures. Do you know that 99% of the time, this is how God speaks to us as we read the Word of God? Let's never forget that God will never tell us to do anything that contradicts His Word. Never will. He's not a schizophrenic God. Amen. Well, the Lord led me to kill this person. I don't think so. No, thou shalt not kill. Now, understand, because God uses His Word to speak to us, that means it is critical. It is essential. It is absolutely necessary for every single child of God to read the Bible. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. I'm gonna wake the rats up in this building tonight, and they're going to say amen. It's essential that every child of God reads the Word of God. We must read it on a regular, daily basis. I like what R.A. Torrey wrote. If you ever got his topical textbook and opened up the front of that, the very first pages, he talks about the Scriptures. And it's a wonderful thing that he writes about it. But I'm going to read you a portion of it. He says this: first of all, make up your mind that you will put some time every day into the study of the Word of God. That is an easy resolution to make and not a very difficult one to keep. If the one who makes it is earnest, it is one of the most fruitful resolutions that any Christian ever made. The forming of that resolution and the holding faithfully to it has been the turning point in many a life that has been barren and unsatisfactory has become rich and useful through the introduction into it of regular, persevering, daily study of the Bible. What a great statement that is. By the way, that's not just for the preacher, that's for every child of God. Do you know, if you read your Bible for 40 minutes a day, now watch this, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night. How many think that's a doable thing? 20 minutes in the morning. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, very good. Making sure you're all with us tonight. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, at even a slow pace. Do you know that you could read through the Bible in less than 4 months, the entire Bible, if you did that? Quiet, isn't it? It's quiet. This preacher is quiet too, by the way. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, every day, you can read through it at a slow pace in 4 months. Do the math, 1,200 pages. Figure it out when you get home. I know you're probably thinking, no. Yes. Write it up, 1,200 pages. Figure it out, reading a page in about four minutes or so. Yet on average, listen to this, on average, less than 0.25%. That's like 1 in 400 have ever read through the Bible in a year. 1 out of 400, less than 0.25% of all professing Christians have read through the Bible in a year. Listen to this. Less than 4% have ever read through the entire Bible. That's sad, isn't it? Well, I can't figure out why I'm not getting victory in my life. Maybe you're not reading the Bible. Well, I can't figure out why I keep making decisions that don't seem to work out for me. Maybe you're not hearing the voice of God. Because God speaks through His Word. God speaks through the Scriptures. But the truth of the matter is, many do not read it as we ought to. And that is a sad, sad statistic for Bible-believing Christians. You know, one of the main goals of the devil is to keep you and to keep me from reading this book. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to read it. And that's one of the main things he'll try to stop you from doing. And by the way, there are two ways that the devil keeps us from reading the Bible. Here's the first one. Number one, write this down, by filling up your schedule. By filling up your schedule. You know what he wants to do? He wants to crowd you up, man. He wants to stack your stuff. He wants to keep you running from the time you get up till the time you go to bed. One thing after the next. Why? So you won't have time to read the Bible. And that's what he does. And by the way, he doesn't care what you fill it with. It's okay with him if I fill it with something that's good or not so bad. Just as long as it's keeping you away from the Bible. As long as it's keeping you busy in something that keeps you from his Word. It could be something as simple as going somewhere with your family or doing this or doing that. But he'll keep stacking everything possible up so that you don't have time to read the Word of God. He'll get us to make time to read the newspaper. He'll get us to have time to watch TV, go online for stuff, you know, search stuff out, search this stuff, watch sports, get into our hobbies, but not for God's voice because he doesn't want us to hear it. I don't want you to hear God's voice. See, he knows that. You know, then we wonder why we're in the condition we're in. That's the place God speaks to us 99.9% of the time from the Word of God. And if we're not reading it and not getting direction from it, we'll never hear his voice. Here's the second one that the devil tries. Second way the devil tries to keep you from reading the Bible is this, by fatiguing us. By fatiguing us. I'll tell you what, he wants to get us involved with enough things so when it comes time to read God's Word, we look like that girl on your sheet right there. It's supposed to be a Bible there. It is a Bible there. She fell asleep reading the Bible. Why? Because the devil wants us to get he wants to get us when it's time to read the Bible, we're too tired to read it. We don't feel like reading it. We can't pay attention because our minds are somewhere else and we're just exhausted. And he succeeds when he does that. He's beaten a lot of us up through these two things, hasn't he? So much so. And this preacher as well. That's why we have to guard it. That's why we have to make time for it. That's why we have to plan for reading the Bible. That's why we have to block it out. We have to make sure I'm alert and I'm awake and I'm aware of what I'm reading. You see, did you ever think that the Bible is the... This is going to sound so simple. The Bible is the only book God wrote. Isn't that true? And it's the only book God commanded us to read. That's it, the only one. He never commanded us to read anything else. He commanded us to read this book. And when we crowd out the Word of God, what we're doing is we're crowding out the voice of God. So, the Scriptures, number one, is the first way that he gets us, or that we hear his voice. Can I ask you something? I'm always going to throw this out here. Are you reading the Bible? What would happen if I said, okay, everybody read their Bible every day this week, every day? Don't do it. Stand up. I don't want to know. I really don't. I would just assume everybody has. To me, I just would assume that. I hope so. We're Baptist church. We believe the Bible, right? I mean, at least a little bit of time. I'm not asking for reading it in 4 months. But I hope we all read it at least every day. Anyway, number two. Not only does he speak through the Scriptures, letter B, he also speaks through his servants. Through his servants. God uses his servants to speak to us. Imperfect servants, yes. But he uses them. He uses Sunday school teachers. He uses pastors. He uses evangelists. He uses preachers. He uses missionaries. He even uses other spiritual Christians as instruments in his hand so that we hear his voice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So understand something. God has provided the local New Testament church with gifts, people gifts, that he uses, that he may use them to speak through them so you hear his voice. That's why when we come to church, we need to come with an open heart. You know what Ecclesiastes 5:1 says? It says this, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, watch this, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What is the main reason we come to this place? Why are we here tonight? Why do we come on Sunday morning and Sunday night? It's very simple, to hear the voice of God. We come to this place, everything we do in a service, whether it be, and I know there's a few things that you could say, arguably, we don't do announcements and things like that. Those are things that are necessities. But the structure of the service, the reason we sing hymns, the reason we have a special, the reason we have play an offertory that's a hymn, is because we're trying to prepare our hearts so that when the preaching of the Word of God comes, we'll have ears to hear the voice of God. Because we believe that the servant of God is going to give out the word of God, and God's voice will speak to every one of us. That's why the spirit that you bring to church, and by the way, everybody brings a spirit to church, is vitally important. Vitally important. You can bring a spirit of humility. You can bring a spirit of anticipation to church. And those are the things that God wants us to bring to church. We come humble, ready to hear, ready to receive. But not everybody comes like that. Some people come with a spirit of carelessness, of lightheartedness, of being lackadaisical and having a mind that's preoccupied. And by the way, that's one of the reasons we sing the hymns, is to get our minds off of the other stuff and get our minds on the Lord before the message starts. Some people even come to a church service with a spirit of anger, with a spirit of rebellion, with a spirit of hard-heartedness. They'll come to church with that. That's why, again, I'm going to say it, the spirit you bring to church is vitally important, and for me as well. But when you come, we ought to be listening for His voice. What is He saying? Not talking to one another. Not walking around. Not sleeping. Amen. But listening and receiving what God has for us. Why? Because He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you instructions. He wants to give you help for your life. I hope you've experienced that in your life many, many times. Really, we should experience every time. But you know, sometimes I can think back on my life. There were key decisions I had to make. And I'll tell you what, that preacher preached exactly what I needed to make a life-changing decision in my life. And it wasn't because of the preacher. It was because God was using that man to speak to my heart and direct me on what He wanted to do. One of the messages I remember, and I could think of many of them, this one isn't tremendously significant in my life. But I remember that when I had gone up to Bible college full time, I was going part time, working, doing all that stuff, and we made the decision to go up full time. And we thought, you know what, we'll move up here, we'll go to in Downingtown. We actually lived in Thorndale, attending Landmark Baptist. And we were so involved at Mainland Baptist in Absecon, New Jersey. I mean, I was a deacon there. I was the bus director there. I taught Sunday school. My wife taught the eighth grade girls, different things like that. I mean, we were neck deep in the ministry, just like every Christian's supposed to be. Amen? Hey, rats! Amen? Anyway. I mean, we were neck deep in it. And you know what? They really didn't want us to go because we were so involved. And so we had this bright idea. We thought, you know what we'll do? Is we will go back to Absecon, 2 hours away, every weekend. And so we would leave and go down there. We'd have to do something with the dog or stay at my sister's. We had the kids and all that. And we were, you know, serving down there. Then we'd come back Sunday night and attend Landmark. And we did that, I don't know how long, probably a few months, right? It was a long time. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is hard. I mean, by the time we drove down there 2 hours, I wanted to go to bed. I didn't want to go out visiting my bus route. I was tired, you know what I mean? And we tried to work it out and all that. And I remember sitting in a service, and I was thinking, you know, is it time, Lord, you want us to just come up here, transfer our membership now and be up here? And I remember the message that Dr. Schindler preached. It was out of Deuteronomy 1:6, and he used this statement out of it. Ye have dwelt enough in this mount. And that was it. I mean, that just hit me right in the heart. And he was talking about, you know, moving on in the Christian life and all that and taking the next step and all that. Well, guess what? We joined the church right after that. Because I knew, there's no doubt in my mind, I was, you know, trying to think about this, that God was saying, okay, now's the time. And we could talk about many times, and you could too, I hope, in your life, that God used some preacher to give you the word of God to make a life-changing decision. Can you imagine if we slept in that service? Can you imagine if I fell asleep when it was God wanted to call me to be a preacher? Imagine if I was texting somebody. Really? I mean, the stuff that's done in the service, I'm not dumb. I know it's done. You know, you could tell. I mean, that's how policemen, you know, they know you're texting. Come on now. But anyway, my point is this. God uses His servants to speak to us. Thank God for the preachers of His word. You know, when these men come in for Jubilee and things like that and special meetings and preaching for us, man, I'll tell you what, I want to get something because I need something for my own heart. And you should feel the same way, and you do, I'm sure. So he speaks to us through the scriptures. He speaks to us through his servants. And then number three, he speaks to us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Letter C. Now, if you're saved here tonight, you got somebody dwelling inside of you. It's a person. You say, that's weird. No, it's not. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, his Spirit speaks to us. Again, in our text, we read in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. How does he do that? He speaks to your heart. And he speaks to my heart. That's what he does. He talks to us. And this is where it gets real personal. You know, sometimes we see God's instructions in his word, but we don't see the specifics of that. In other words, God may lead you to Bible college or something like that. Which one? I don't see any names in here. Maybe I should go to the Sons of the Prophets. Is that still around? You know why? Because there aren't any. So what do? You pray and you let God's Spirit speak to your heart. That's how he speaks to us. He will give you individual direction that nobody else can give you. Only he can. He'll guide and direct you personally, individually, specifically. And again, he will never lead us in a way that's contradictory to his word. Amen? Never will. It always goes in line with his word. So the three ways that God speaks to us is, again, the scriptures, his servants, and his Spirit. Turn the page over. Number two, let's talk about not only the speaking of God, let's talk about the snare of man. The snare of man. Okay, so we're in this fallen being state. Of course, we have the new man and the old man and that old nature. But understand something. Because of our old nature, it is possible for us to shut off the voice of God. Did you know that? It's possible to do that. We know it is, no doubt. I can think of at least two things here that will shut off the voice of God. Here's the first one. Letter A. Write it down. This is going to make you laugh, maybe. Pretending. Pretending. You say, what do you mean by that? Do you know it's possible for us to pretend to hear the voice of God when in reality we're just listening to our own self or our own flesh? Well, God told me to do that. And you know in your heart, he didn't tell you to do that. That's what you want to do. Because when you know the voice of God, you know the voice of God. You know the leadership of God. By the way, he ought to be familiar to you how he leads you. He should be familiar to all of us. But it's actually possible for us to pretend to say, well, God led me to do it. God spoke to me. When in reality, he didn't. Let me show you an example of that. Quickly go back, holding your hand here, to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, you know this story, I believe. We had the splitting of the kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 12. And we see the man of God that came out of Judah, and he confronted Jeroboam. And you know the story there. And it's interesting because this man of God who was doing well, now in verse 11, and now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story, we're running out of time, but go down to verse 18. Here's what he's saying. This man of God, this prophet, is saying to the young prophet, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. Notice what he says here. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Look at the next line. But he lied unto him. God told me to do it. Yes, God told me to do it. Really? Do you know it's possible to pretend? And in reality, he did not. You see, that wasn't God's voice that man heard. It was his own voice. It was his own flesh leading him. And we see that. You know, we can get so used to turning out God's voice and listening to our own voice that we call our own ideas God's ideas. And it's not true. By the way, husbands, if you want to lead your wife in the right way, you need to hear the voice of God. And your wife wants to make sure that you can hear His voice. She wants someone who's sure that they're following the voice of God. And not just saying, well, I think so. I think this is the way it goes. I think it's what He wants me to do. Then you haven't heard the voice of God. Because God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work like, well, I think so. Well, maybe not. He doesn't work that way. He leads us directly. You know, we can do that in all kinds of things. We can do that in our faith promise giving. Right? And just make something up. Well, that's what I'm going to give. Did God lead you to do that? Well, I don't know. Well, then you're pretending. You're pretending to hear the voice of God. Don't you think God wants to show you what He wants to give? Don't you think God wants to show you when it's time to vote for deacons or something like that, who you're supposed to vote for? Or when it's time to make a decision as a church? Don't you think He wants to tell us those things? Well, then we better get used to hearing His voice. You see, we can either come to a decision by using our own understanding, our own mentality, our own emotions, our own feelings, our own wants and desires, or we can come to a decision by listening to the voice of God. And there's a huge difference there. It is possible to live life making our own decisions and calling them led of God when it's not true. And by the way, when you do that, it's going to shut off the voice of God. Because you're going to hear all kinds of voices. You'll have no idea what God's trying to direct you to do. Because you'll be so confused. Is it me or is it God? Is it me or is it God? You better figure it out quick because He wants to talk to you. And you better sense His voice and His leadership. Very, very important. So pretending is the first one. And there's another one. Number two, write this down or letter B there. Here's another thing that's going to shut off the voice of God. Rebelling. Let me show what I mean by that. Going back to our text in Hebrews chapter 3, notice again he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice, watch what he says, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. How many have ever done something wrong after you were saved? Okay? All right. If you didn't raise your hand, you can raise it now. We all have. Some of that wrongdoing can be classified as, now this is very important here, transgressions. A transgression is, oops, I did it, I didn't mean to do it, Lord, I'm sorry, I did it, forgive me, and we get it right. That's what it is. Transgression really means to cross the line. And by the way, we all do that. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what a transgression is. I would liken it to, again, and kind of oops, and trying to get the things right. But some other wrongdoing is much greater than that. It's more than a transgression. And that is a rebellion. You say, what do you mean by that? Rebellion is something totally different. It's handled totally different. You see, rebellion is much more serious. It's much more severe. It's a much graver sin. Here's what it is. Rebellion is when we know that something's wrong. And we think about it. And God kind of says, don't do that. And we say, I'm just going to do it. And deal with the consequences later. That, my friends, rebellion. That's rebellion. By the way, according to 1 Samuel chapter 15, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Same thing. God hates rebellion. It's a premeditated thing, you know? And by the way, it can happen to any of us. Tax time's coming up. I know I'm gonna step on a sacred cow, I think. You may have somebody that says, you know, this deduction really isn't you, but you can go ahead and take it. They won't say anything about it. Can I say something? God already knows. God already seen it. Do you see what I mean? And here you are, and here I am, and the accountant or whoever's doing our taxes, or even ourselves, say, you know what, should I take it or should I not? I really shouldn't, but you know what, I'll just go ahead and do it. That's rebellion. That's what rebellion is. It'd be like the time I was writing out my tithe check one time. And I already wrote it out. And God reminded me of some money that came in that I forgot about. And he said, "You forgot it." And I said, "I already wrote out the check." That's how spiritual I am, right? I already wrote out the check. I just take care of it some other time. I won't forget. And God said, "Do you want my power tonight when you preach?" "Well, yeah, I do." "Then you better write it." So guess what? Right? We all get to those places where God, and we have the choice to rebel or to submit. And when we rebel, knowing what we're supposed to do, hearing the voice of God and ignoring it, that will shut off the voice of God. That's what it does. Shut it off. Can I ask you something tonight? Have you shut it off? He's trying to speak to us through the Scriptures, through His servants, by His Spirit. We can pretend, rebel, and then number three, and we're done. This is quick. The third thing, the secret of communication. It's kind of an open secret. Okay, what do we need to make sure, then, if we want to hear the voice of God? How do we do it? You say, "All right, preacher, I won't rebel. I'm going to come to church with an open heart. I'm going to listen. I'm going to get back to reading my Bible as I ought to. I'm going to hear the servant of God as he preaches the word of God, and I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God. What do I need to do?" Hearing the voice of God requires these three things. Letter A, write it down quickly. Number one is a desire. Do you want to hear it? Some people don't want to hear it. Because if I hear it, then I have to change something, maybe. I like the way everything's going. I want to keep going my way. It has to begin with a desire to hear His voice. You know, over and over in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What was He talking about? Everybody heard Him. Everybody had ears. He that had ears. What's He saying? He's saying this. Yeah, everyone's listening, but not many people want to hear what I have to say. We have to desire it. You see, we have to want to hear God's voice. Can I ask you something? Do you read your Bible wanting to hear God's voice? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? I have to remind myself of that every time. Because I'll start reading sometimes, I'll be a chapter through, and I'll do it. I think you probably do sometimes. What did I just read? I read it, but I didn't read it. I mean, I went through every word. And it's like, I was out somewhere else. So I say, you know what? I need to go back and try. When you read the Bible, we must desire to hear His voice. When we come to church, we have to desire to hear His voice. When we listen for His voice, we need to be sensitive to hear it. I mean, if there's anybody that should want to hear His voice, it should be me and you, His children, right? The world doesn't want to hear it, but we should. Better be, quickly, not only this, not only a desire, but how about this? Inquire. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Ask God to speak to your heart. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1:5, "They give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given to him." Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it." Do you ever think about this? Desire to hear His voice and then inquire. Ask God. Pray. "God, speak to me." Do you ever pray that before coming to church? You ever pray it before reading your Bible? It's a good thing to do. Just stop him and say, "Lord, before I read, please speak to my heart. Show me direction. I need direction. I need an answer to something here." And by the way, He'll show you. I remember when we were praying about coming here, in our eighth year now, we were praying about coming here. I mean, there's so many ways that God directed us in His Word. I have stuff written in this Bible right here. The day He showed me to come here, and then all the songs, the hymns, and the preacher, everything just fit together. There's no doubt in my mind. He said, "Get over there. Go down there." I was like, "No." Just kidding. So inquire. Letter C, and we're done. I had to give the ire, so this is a funny one. Require. Require. You say, what's that? Here's what I mean by that. Verse 8, harden not your hearts. Watch this. Require yourself to be honest. Would you? Require yourself to be honest. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Check your heart. Make sure your heart is tender to the things of God. Let God speak to you. Let God lead you and direct you. It's that simple. It's that simple. Tonight, we're done right here. God wants to speak to us. He does. He wants us to hear His voice. The question is, are we listening? And have we gotten comfortable not listening? Because if we have, then we need to be the first ones at the altar. Say, Lord, I need to hear Your voice tonight. And by the way, Bible reading, prayer, asking for direction, there's no age limit in the Scriptures of who that's for. I mean, if you can read, you can read the Bible. If you're a teenager, you can read the Bible. You can pray. God can direct you. And you're just as responsible as anybody else to read the Word of God. Amen? If we want to hear His voice. We need to hear His voice today. We really do. You know, we can scramble through this life and just do things our way and just get by and, you know, do all the spiritual things we're supposed to do, all the mechanics of the Christian life. But it's going to be fruitless or very little fruit if it's not directed and empowered by Him. Why don't we follow His path? Let Him direct us, hear His voice, know it's His way, and then let Him bless accordingly. Because that's the only blessed life, when we hear His voice. Let's pray.